So we are continuing our Advent themes, looking at Advent themes in the Gospel of Mark, using this book, Holy Disruption, as a jumping off point. Last week, the lovely moderator, Jeff, started us off last week, reminding us that there's no nativity story in Mark's Gospel, no little baby in a manger in Mark's Gospel at all. But one of the themes of Advent is not just the birth of Jesus, but the return of Jesus at the end of time. Today, we're thinking about the theme of home. And the title is Home for the Holidays, which is very American and schmaltzy, isn't it? One of the things I love about Christmas is a Christmas movie. Love a Christmas movie. So just randomly tell me, what's your favourite Christmas movie? The Nativity? Love Actually, love that. Polar Express, never seen that. Is it good? Okay, anyone else? Elf, gotta love a bit of Elf. The Snowman. Klaus, that's a good one. Did someone say Home Alone at the back? Can't see what Home Alone is all about. Not sure about Home Alone. Anyway, good stuff. Now, in my house, we can't do Christmas without a rerun of The Sound of Music. I know strictly not a Christmas movie. Anyone love The Sound of Music? Oh, yes. You may see a theme emerging from what I'm going to say this morning. Loved it as a child until you get to the scary bit when you've got to run away from the soldiers. And then I hid behind the sofa every year because it became as scary as watching The Day of the Triffids. Anyone remember what that? That ages me as well, doesn't it? So, love The Sound of Music. Love The Sound of Music. Another Christmas rerun that I love is this film, The Wizard of Oz. A young girl is transported to a fantasy world, and together with three new friends and a little dog called Toto, it sets about finding her way home. It's a lovely story. And I guess for many of us, the idea of home is a place of safety, a place of belonging and acceptance, love and peace. There's nothing better than coming back home when you've been away. And all through The Wizard of Oz, Dorothy is trying to find her way back home again. I wonder what your immediate thought was when I said the word home. Maybe your thought was the place where you live. Maybe, hopefully, for you, your house is a place of relative warmth at the moment. It's, who knows? A place of security and a place of peace. A place where you can be yourself. You can go home, put your Jimmy Jams on, watch Strictly. All will be well. That's maybe my idea of home, even if it's not yours. Some of you may have thought of home as something more geographical. We're tribal people. I am from Yorkshire. The War of the Roses is still happening in my head. I met somebody yesterday who goes, I'm a proud Lancashire man. I bristled. I went, I'm from Yorkshire. Still happening, the War of the Roses. Some of you, when you heard the word home, thought, well, I come from West Kirby, or the Ukraine, or Italy, or Scotland, yay, or Wales, or Coventry, wherever you come from. You might have thought, when you heard the word home, of the place you grew up. Or not, you might have thought of something else. We are fast approaching Christmas. And alongside the Christmas movies, we have the joy of Christmas songs. Who's heard Last Christmas by Wham yet? Have you heard of Whamageddon? You see? Should we play it just to annoy people? No? Okay. We have Christmas songs extolling the blessings of Christmas and home. Chris Rea has been driving home for Christmas since 1986. I don't know where he's driving from. Maybe there's a train strike wherever he's driving home from. Bing Crosby sings to us, "I'll be home for Christmas." They all point to this idea that the place where we're most likely to be best loved, most secure, is home. Home is the best place to be for Christmas, is what these songs suggest. And the films and the Christmas adverts are all of people sitting around a table, eating and drinking. And that may be true for some of us, but that's not true for all of us. Some of us have an empty chair around our table this Christmas. Some of us are far away from home. And for some of us, home isn't a positive experience. For the people of God, across the whole span of the story of God's dealing with humanity, particularly in the Old Testament, there is a big story of them trying to find their way home. Trying to find a land to call their own after their sin and their rebellion, after Exodus and exile. They're trying to find their way home again. And so by the time we get to Mark's gospel, the Jewish people of Jesus' day have lived with the history of seeking, finding, losing, grieving for, and recreating home. And now in the time and the place of Jesus' birth, they're now home, but home is occupied by the Romans. So home doesn't really feel like home anymore. And then Jesus is born. John 1:14 says this, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us." The Greek for "made his dwelling among us" literally means "pitched his tent." The Word became flesh and pitched his tent among us. I love that. Jesus comes to make his home among us, to be Emmanuel. We've sung about that already. The God who walks and lives beside us. God opens wide the tent flaps and says, "Come on in. I'm pitching my tent among you. Welcome home." So whilst the Gospel of Mark doesn't have the baby stories of Jesus' birth, it doesn't have the Christmas narrative that we'll hear in our Christmas services. What it does have, it captures the theme of home through its focus on the kingdom of God and what that's like. So unlike earthly kingdoms, it's not defined by borders or geography, but refers to the home we find in God and the home that God wants to establish in us. You might have thought that those random readings that Nick read, grouped together, were all a bit peculiar, but actually, they were all about the kingdom of God. We started with the announcement from the beginning of Mark's gospel: the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. Mark wants us to understand that the birth of this baby, the arrival of this new king, brings in a new kingdom. Jesus comes into the world to help us find our way into the home that is the kingdom of God. And when we look at Jesus, we see what the kingdom of God looks like. In what he does, in what he says, in how he reacts and how he treats people, we see and learn what the kingdom of God looks like. Our second reading that Nick read was all about family. Perhaps when we think of family, we think of home. The two people, they're closely linked, aren't they? Family and home. When I think of home, I think of Paul and Rebecca and Lola the dog. Yet when Jesus was told that his family are waiting to see him, he replies with these words, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" Nice. "Whoever does God's will," Jesus says, "is my brother, my sister, and my mother." Now, we might have thought that's a little bit passive aggressive, but actually, for those who are hearing it, with the ears in which it was placed in context, it was quite radical a thing to say. Because Jesus was turning everything on its head. Family was a really important building block to the Jewish people, as it is for us. In fact, what Jesus was doing wasn't saying that family wasn't important, but was saying that the kingdom of God, the household of God, is our place of most secure belonging and home. And people who aren't related to us by blood, all of a sudden, in the kingdom of God, become family in the eyes of God. And we've all got a responsibility for them because they're family. And we know that he welcomed a whole hodgepodge of people who were suddenly considered family in the eyes of God. The people who were least expected, lepers and the blind and the sick, tax collectors, even women, shock, horror. He breaks down all these social conventions of the day and demonstrates that the kingdom of God includes and welcomes, even welcomes us. Romans 5 verse 8 says this, God demonstrates his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ dies for us. God's grace, forgiveness, and love extends to the cross while we were still sinners. What amazing grace. Do we know that for ourselves? That even though each one of us are rat bags of the first order, because God is holy and loving at the same time, he makes a way for us to be right in the eyes of God. And Jesus carries our sin and our wrongdoing to the cross so we don't have to. That's amazing grace. Jesus' kingdom is one where people who aren't classed as family are all of a sudden included. And that includes us. And Jesus gives dignity to all sorts of people. Every time he heals someone, raises someone from the dead, every time he dignifies someone by the words he uses to call them daughter of Israel, daughter of Abraham, he dignifies people who were thought of as the least. We heard that Jesus welcomed children. Children were the least of the least in society. People were bringing little children to Jesus, we heard in Mark chapter 10. Bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. But the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. Indignant is quite a strong word. He wasn't just mildly annoyed. He wasn't a little bit miffed. He was indignant. Because the disciples had yet again missed the point of everything. He said, "Let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." Jesus was saying by his actions, by his words, by his stories, that the home we're invited to live in this kingdom of God, is intended for all. But those who are the least and the vulnerable and the powerless are especially welcome. Our final reading was about the greatest commandment. Jesus is asked, which of the commandments is the greatest? And he replies with the words of the Shema, words from the Old Testament that every Jew knows by heart, binds it to their foreheads and their hearts. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no greater commandment than this." Now, the religious questioner agrees with Jesus and adds that the two commandments are more important than anything else. So when Jesus hears how well the man has responded, he declares him to be not far from the kingdom of God. Not far from the kingdom of God. I think we can find ourselves not far from the kingdom of God when we accept his love for us and his work on the cross. When we turn around and follow Jesus on his path of loving his neighbors, and when we love our neighbors in turn, we are not far from the kingdom of God. Let's get back to the Christmas movies. Now, you might debate me on this one. You might go, "Louise, this is not a Christmas movie. But we watch it at Christmas in the Franklin household. So it is, don't debate me, a Christmas movie." The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Who's seen that? Oh, yes. Part of the Chronicles of Narnia. For those who don't know, it's written by C.S. Lewis. It's one of those allegories of the story of Jesus. There are four children in the story, and they discover they can enter a new world just by walking through the back of an old wardrobe, and then they're in snowy Narnia. A wardrobe ends up being a portal to a new world. I love The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Random link in my head here. I think Mark's gospel reminds us in some ways that there are portals all around us that lead to this new country, this new realm called the kingdom of God. It's like we walk through the wardrobe door to the kingdom of God when we love God by loving our neighbour. When we are Jesus' hands and feet. When we are generous and offer grace and forgiveness. When we seek justice and compassion, we find ourselves in the portal to the kingdom of God. We're transported to where our true home is. Now, you might think that all I do is sit and watch Christmas films. True. Yeah, it's true. But let's get back to this one. At the end of the story of the Wizard of Oz, Dorothy discovers that her red ruby slippers do the same job as the wardrobe in Narnia. They are a portal to return her home. All she has to do is click her ruby slippers together 3 times and say 3 times, there's no place like home. And I know that some of you are imagining that bit in the film right now. And at the end of the film, she does that. She clicks her heels together. She says, there's no place like home, 3 times. And there she's back at home, back in Kansas, with her aunt and her uncle and her little dog, Tutu. But all the way through the story, she had the answer all along on her feet. She could have portaled herself back home at any moment, but she didn't know that. I think we know what the answer is, and we've known it all along since we've met Jesus. Advent invites us to imagine Jesus beckoning us to enter the kingdom of heaven, to invite us to a new experience of home, a home that looks like following his footsteps, of being his hands and his feet. Advent reminds us that Jesus is coming back. But until he does, we have work to do because we are his family. And we're to share and to show his love. We are to share his love in words. We are to let people know that we are Christians, to share what he has done for us. And we are to show his love. We are to love others in his name. We are to welcome people who are not in our family by blood, but are by kingdom. Welcome sisters and brothers and weird uncles and seventh cousins thrice removed. Welcome everyone and call them to walk home to the kingdom of God. We are to have spiritually open eyes to see where the kingdom of God is breaking into our world. We are the busiest time of year. But even though you are busy, how can you be Jesus' hands and feet this Advent? What would that look like in your week ahead? Where is the kingdom of God breaking into your life? In the life of those for whom you're praying for? In the life of those that you are going to invite to celebrate Christmas with us, aren't you? How is the kingdom of God there as well as here? Can I invite the band back up? Jesus is coming back. But until he does, we are commanded to be his family now. To walk the walk as well as talk the talk and share and show the love of Jesus. We are going to spend some time singing and praying for our other family members, those we don't know about yet and those we do. We're going to sing a song called Kyrie Eleison. We have sung it before, but not very recently. And we're going to sing and pause and pray, sing and pause and pray. So will you remain seated as we pray and sing together?